Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the Russian Olympic doping scandal. Here's what you need to know. In February of 2014, all eyes were on Russia as the Winter Olympics opened in Sochi, the first games to be held there since the collapse of the Soviet Union. Russian athletes have always been top competitors, but at the Sochi Olympics, the Russian team blew the competition away, winning 33 medals, including 13 golds, 10 more than it had won in the 2010 Olympics. But something smelled fishy. Later that year, allegations of corruption and systematic doping from former Russian anti-doping agency official Vitaly Stepanov and his wife Yulia, a former Russian athlete, went public in a German documentary about Russia's, quote, secret weapon. Stepanov had been secretly working with the World Anti-Doping Agency, aka WADA, since the 2010 Vancouver Olympics, where he began blowing the whistle on his homeland. By 2015, WADA had identified Dr. Grigory Rodchenkov, director of the anti-doping lab in Moscow, as the linchpin in what they described as an extensive state-sponsored doping program in Russia. The accusations against Rodchenkov included extorting money from athletes, covering up positive drug tests, and destroying hundreds of urine samples. Rodchenkov, who denied only the allegation of extortion, admitted to developing a way for athletes to use banned performance-enhancing substances and go undetected. A cocktail of three anabolic steroids was used by many top-level Russian athletes before the London Olympics in 2012 and throughout the Sochi Olympics. The drugs were dissolved in alcohol, which helped both speed up the absorption and minimize the detection window. The men were served shivas, the women martini vermouth, a precise mixture of 1 milligram of steroids per milliliter of alcohol the athletes were instructed to swish the cocktail around in their mouths and under their tongues. Meanwhile, anti-doping experts and Russian intelligence agents would break into the testing labs in the middle of the night and pass tainted urine samples into a shadow lab through a hand-sized hole in the wall. There, they mysteriously bypassed the standard tamper-proof bottles used in international competition and replaced the samples with clean urine collected months earlier. All of this had been sanctioned by the Russian government. In addition to confirming evidence of the doping scandal, the McLaren Report, an independent investigation released in July of 2016, included evidence of a so-called Sochi Duchess list, which named 37 athletes on the team whose urine would be automatically swapped in the lab. One-third of the 33 medals won by the Russian team in Sochi had been awarded to athletes named in documents outlining the government's doping plan. According to Rodchenkov, those documents were provided by the sports ministry before the games started. Ultimately, the Russian doping program was one of the most elaborate and successful ploys in sports history.
Do you believe the Olympics can ever be clean?
You could believe, but in fact, it's a human nature. It's our sins. It has nothing to do with sports. But there are 10% or 15% of people who are incorrigibles. You can do nothing. They are cheaters by their natures. Incorrigibles, 15%.
How many countries are doping?
20 plus.
20 plus.
For sure.
Fun facts, aka death stats. In February 2016, Nikita Kameyev, a former director of the Russian anti-doping agency, died unexpectedly of a heart attack at the age of 52. That same month, another former director of the agency, Vyacheslav Sinev, died from causes that remain unknown.
With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is Alarmy member, Alarmy favorite, Adam Lustig.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Hello, Amanda. Hello, fact checker Chris.
Hi.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks, Rebecca.
We're so excited to have you. And I'm excited to ask you, what is recently alarming you? You know, what's your latest anxiety?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I'll give you two because I'm chock full of them. In a broader and kind of a broader global sense, the encroaching and impending fire season literally keeps me up at night. So I just want to sort of say that, as my allergies are almost like an old man's knee and that they swell when the weather is changing. I can tell that the air is becoming brittle and dry as I can barely breathe through my nose. So that is making me a little bit anxious. And then in the very short term, my two-year-old toddler woke up at 4:30 this morning. So I'm swimming through a sea, a hazy fog of fatigue and sort of a dreamlike podcast state. That's not really anxiety. That's just sort of a, I feel like, apropos to the episode, I feel like I'm on drugs myself. So those are just two little things, but thank you for asking.
Can I ask you the reason for waking up at 4:30 today?
Let me drag him out here, and you can ask him yourself.
What did he say at the time that was his reason?
He woke up, and he said, I just can't sleep. I'm thinking about the Russian doping scandal, and I'm restless. And I said, me too. I don't know. I think he's growing and evolving or some nonsense like that, and his brain is just growing or something annoying like that.
I have a follow-up.
Yeah.
What allergy medication do you use?
I don't really mess with too much allergy medication. I'll do a Claritin if need be, sort of, if the situation gets dire. I usually just tough it out and complain. I complain. Is that medicine?
That's your medication.
Yeah.
I went to a doctor.
Does it help?
I went to a doctor about this. And did you guys know that there are like the different allergy medications are different levels of how much they work on you?
Oh, really?
And, yeah. At the lowest is the loratadine, and then it's Claritin, and then it's the
Zyrtec.
Zyrtec.
Oh.
Zyrtec is the most effective heavy duty. And then my doctor was also like, there are two other things you can do for bad allergies. One is nasal something something, which is, it's like Flonase. Go get Flonase, which I do. I take a good hit of that.
Nice.
And no, I'm telling you, I got my allergies under control. Like, I would have really bad allergies from the same thing, dust and whatever.
Dust, your confidence is inspiring. We're on a strict plan
over here. Yeah.
So we're on Zyrtec? And Flonase. We have modern medicine. It can help, guys.
So in a way, you guys, what you're telling me is that you guys are doping.
That's right.
You guys are allergy doping.
We're doping. And I mean, that is the perfect transition into this episode and putting people up on this list. Now, there's so much to put on the list. We got to get started.
Putin. Let's get
Wow, starting with Putin.
Whoa, somebody yelling
from the
back.
We can start with Putin. I was going to wait till later, but yeah, sure. Let's put him on and we'll talk about him later.
Throw him up there.
Okay. Yeah. He's up there. Let's make him sweat.
He doesn't know what we're going to say about him.
You guys, he's taking his shirt off.
Oh my
God. He always is.
Come on. So we, first of all, we got to put director Grigory Rodchenkov. Rodchenkov.
What a character.
I mean, I was rewatching this episode or this Icarus documentary last night.
Incredible.
It's just so incredible. He's such a character.
Oh, my goodness.
You couldn't write him if you wanted to.
Truly. I was rewatching it last night too. I had seen it when it came out a few years ago, but in preparation for this podcast, because I'm nothing if not allergenic and prepared, I was watching it a little bit. And yeah, he's like a comic character from like a Chekhov play or something. I mean, he's like the weird uncle on the farm in the cherry orchard or something. He's hysterical, kind of lovable, if I may say.
Yes. Yes. I mean, just as a personality.
Right.
I'm very charmed by him.
Extremely charmed, yeah.
But look, he did some things. Let's just say he did some things. Yeah. According to the New York Times, this is a great article by Rebecca R. Ruiz, Juliet McCurr, and Ian Austin. Reflecting on his career, Rodchenkov said he was unapologetic about his role in Russia's doping program, considering it a condition of his employment. To receive funding and supporting for his lab, he said he had to do the Kremlin's bidding.
Yeah.
Now, this is from another article, an NPR article. Head of the Moscow Drug Testing Laboratory, Rodchenkov was the architect of Russian doping at London 2012 and at the Winter Games in Sochi 2 years later. But when a WADA instigated investigation in 2015 revealed the covering up of failed tests at his lab and the hasty destruction of 1,417 samples, he fled to the USA. Then, as recounted in the Oscar-winning documentary Icarus, he became a high-level whistleblower, confessing all. He just opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
Rodchenkov's career in Russian doping labs appeared to have come to an end. This is so interesting. So he started like in the 80s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But it appeared to have come to an end in 2011 when he was arrested and accused of drug trafficking along with his sister Marina. Ordered to plead guilty in the case, he instead made a gruesome and botched attempt to take his own life. He was then incarcerated in a series of psychiatric institutions and given a series of psychotropic drugs, according to Walden, who says that his life was saved by a simple invitation from London. On paper, he was still he's in the hospital, in these psychiatric hospitals. But on paper, he was still the laboratory chief for the Sochi Games in 2014. So he was invited to join London 2012 testing chief David Cowan at the Harlow Laboratory for the 2012 Games. It was an intelligence gathering opportunity that couldn't be missed, and the invitation for him was for him alone. So he was released and officially cleared of all charges.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, Russia.
Yeah, really.
At this stage, the drug of choice used by many Russian athletes was oral turinabol, a drug created as part of another state-sponsored doping program in East Germany during the 70s. Already by the time of this lab visit, Rodchenkov knew Russia would most likely wholesale be caught, not at the games themselves, but through subsequent retrospective testing and with a new groundbreaking test coming out for a long-term metabolites. The reason he knew this was that he had discovered the test. So right. he made the test. So he's right. like, you're going to get caught eventually.
Right.
And published his findings in 2011, despite the fact that he knew it would prove costly to Russian in the future. Why he did this remains a mystery. It's almost like he wanted to get caught.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, as we know, he came up with a new regimen, famously known as the Duchess cocktail, which you guys know. And it was oxandrolone, metanolone, and trenbolone.
Yum.
Also good for allergies.
Great for allergies. That's the heavy duty stuff.
A drug used to enhance growth in farm animals. Scary. As yet, none of them are detectable using long-term metabolite testing. At the Sochi Winter Games, the cocktail was taken with alcohol. As we said, Shiva whiskey for the men, vermouth for the women.
Unbelievable. Amazing. Who concocted that menu? I like to think they had a sommelier on hand that was there as well.
A mixologist.
Yeah, exactly.
Little suspenders and a fedora.
Exactly. Just sprinkling the steroids in there.
It had to be swilled around the mouth before being spat out. The drugs enter the body through the cells of the cheek. It's before the Russian doping machine had relied on giving athletes drugs during training. This time, the Duchess cocktail was taken during the games, too.
I think we need to put the Olympics up because it's like so meaningless anyway. Why are we even like care so much that we're running this big state-sponsored cheating thing?
Could not agree more. Could not agree more with you, Amanda. I have to admit, I have some complicated feelings about this scandal, Rebecca.
Oh,
because it's funny because fact checker Chris and I were actually talking about this a couple days ago about sort of like the Russian nihilist, the nihilist streak in the Russian character. That's like there is a streak. I feel like sort of one of the sort of main ethoses in like the Russian soul is like the world is bad, everyone is bad, the world is full of crooks. So we just might as well crook the best, and like we. And, like, we might as well cheat the best. And we are the best at cheating. And we cheat the KGB, the misinformation that we spread all over the world, Olympic doping for 30 years. And it's like, we know we cheat. We don't care. If you catch us, good on you. We're going to keep cheating. We've been cheating. We're cheating now. And we're going to continue cheating. And, like, and we are so good at it that... that it is, like Amanda said, they've elevated cheating almost to its own.
It's Olympic sport.
Olympic event.
They should give medals to the best cheater.
Exactly.
Oh my god. So is that like Russian nihilism, or like is that what we should put on the board, or how do what do we say?
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying like there's this like thing of like I think. They look at like the American obsession with fairness. Like, have the American spirit is like, good is rewarded and bad is punished and the world is great and everything's fine and people are good. I think that, like, Russia looks at that as like, oh, you naive little child.
I think that feels to me like American naivete is
exactly.
What it is. It's not the cheating that's the scandal. It's the fact that we go around thinking
that
people don't cheat. That's right. Exactly. And that was in the movie, too. It's just like the that guy that ran the UCLA lab, when they were interviewing him, he was like, everybody dopes. Everybody cheats. In every country, in all the sports, maybe some don't. And, like, of course, there are degrees, you know what I mean? But, like, everyone is looking for a leg up. Everyone is going to push steroids right to the limit, if not go over. Everyone is freezing other people's piss. It's just, like, it is so ubiquitous. It's happening everywhere. And
it's
the Russians
so true. If you open up my freezer, it's full of other people's piss.
Same.
Just in case.
Same.
I believe it.
And the Russians the
Olympics,
are just like,
at the end of the Olympics, the different countries should submit how... the ways in which they cheated.
And
there should be a medal ceremony for second and third for whoever had the most clever way of getting around the rules to win.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm putting Russian everybody dopes attitude.
I think so. Yeah.
And did
yeah.
you put American naivete?
Well, yeah, but is it not just American, right? Because we're talking about the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, I would say it's just like good, like moral
sport,
people.
Like, sportsmanship. It's like this idea that like sportsmanship is so important, and why is it even so important?
Yeah, you're competing.
And to Amanda's point also about the Olympics is that like I think one of the reasons that I was uber charmed by Grigory Rodchenkov is because like the IOC and the Olympics are its own corrupt mess of an organization. Like the IOC is like not this beacon of ethics. I mean, they have their scandal ridden, and they like, you know, they take money from like, you know, Korean politicians to do this and that. I'm like, the IOC is in and of itself sort of a nightmare. So like the fact that the Russians are like cheating the Olympics, it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. There's a villain. There's a corrupt villain versus corrupt villain element to the scandal, I feel like. So it's like, and that also speaks to the Russian thing of like, no one's good. Don't pretend that anyone's good and ethical.
Right.
Like, we're just the best at being ungood, and we're so good at it, at being ungood.
Well, let's talk about these organizations. I think it's important to put these up on the board.
Yeah.
And let's start with WADA. Perhaps it's a lack of clear responsibilities that have been, they've been assigned to. This is according to the same New York Times article I referenced before. When the World Anti-Doping Agency was created in 1999, its unstated purpose was to help win back the credibility of global sports in the wake of a huge drug bust in the 1998 Tour de France and bribery scandal involving Salt Lake City's bid to host the 2002 Olympics.
Yeah.
WADA started with simple pursuits. Its charge was to standardize doping rules worldwide and create and oversee individual countries' anti-doping programs. Investigative powers were not explicitly written into the agency's code. As time went on, many expected the organization to evolve into a more active regulator and testing body separate from the IOC and the various world governing bodies overseeing Olympic sports. That never happened.
Whoops.
Instead, drug testing was largely left to national laboratories, aka self-regulation. Officially, WADA's explicit power to investigate didn't begin until a new code was approved in 2013 and to take effect in 2015, so post-Sochi.
Right. So there is something about like what's the word? Not, you know, people refer to like the TSA in airports as like security theater. Like it's not actually providing security, but it's like the performative security. So there's something about WADA that's like performative regulation. Like we're creating WADA to like keep an eye on all the doping, but really they're not. It's just like to appease the Salt Lake City scuff up and like to sort of make the Olympics as an organization look legit, even though everybody knows everybody's cheating. Everybody knows that everyone's cheating. So like, then WADA is just created as like, sort of regulatory theater or something.
I like that, Amanda. Okay. Put that up.
Okay, so I'm going to put – okay, so Adam said a couple of good things. So either what did you call it, regulatory theater or performative intervention?
Yeah.
Which one do
I like regulatory theater.
Okay. I like that too.
So
– and Chris, you like that as an actor.
You love theater.
I love just going to the theater. The
the regulatory theater.
That's where you're
specifically that type of theater.
Yeah, yeah. He loves going through TSA. he's like, and once he goes through, he gives them a standing ovation. Bravo!
Chris doesn't even get on the flight. He goes to the airport just to go through TSA and just goes back home. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about these conflicts of interest within WADA. New York Times article, interview with dozens of official athletes in the Olympic movement revealed that the global anti-doping watchdog mishandled allegations of widespread corruption, failed to investigate rigorously, and was hampered by politics to the point that it was largely ineffective in its mission to protect the integrity of sports, the one thing it's supposed to do.
Right.
Okay. Multiple warnings about Russia were sent to WADA over the past several years, and its response was left athletes and officials questioning whether the agency is willing to aggressively combat doping. WADA's decision-making decision-making body is composed of government and Olympic representatives, an arrangement that represents possible conflicts because the Olympic officials might not be inclined to reveal doping transgressions that could mar the integrity of the games, while government officials could be more inclined to protect the athletes from their own countries.
Of course.
Yeah, no kidding.
It makes sense.
Of course. It's like the fox watching the hen house kind of situation. It's like, yeah. Oh, these are your police? Yeah, it's like, this is not going to work.
Dr. Lundqvist, I said that wrong, vice president of WADA from 2008 and to 2013, said he repeatedly raised concerns about Russia. The agency considered penalties against the nation, but in the end, he said the inherent conflicts of interest within WADA and the Olympic movement won. The matter was set aside because it was too politically ineffected. He said. Annie Parkinson, the founding executive director of Britain's anti-doping agency, said WADA's structure was good in theory, but too often resulted in stalemates with Olympic loyalists and national officials rarely agreeing. It's really hard to strip away the perception of that conflict, Mr. Parkinson said.
Right. Absolutely. Of course.
I mean, another thing was that they're accepting bribes.
Right.
So let's put accepting bribes up on the board.
Yeah. And I just want to say, and like, this is the last, I don't want to harp on this, but like, it all feeds into this, this Russian philosophy of like, everyone's crooked. Everyone's a crook. Like, might as well be an elite crook. And like, every piece of evidence about this whole scandal, I think, points to that. The IOC is crooked. Lance Armstrong's doping over here. Everybody's doing it. So we're just going to do it so well. And to Amanda's previous point, it's like, we're going to invent little contraptions and like, drill holes in the wall and like, raise cheating to like, this James Bond level of ingenuity and like efficiency that like is borderline impressive.
Yeah. Makes you think of like they hold elections for president. Did you know that in Russia? And like Putin wins like 95% of the vote like every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like every part of their system is like, oh yeah, you know, we're doing democracy over here. Yeah, no problem over
wink,
here.
Wink.
Definitely democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think to that point, it's like, I know, Rebecca, you have a ton about WADA.
Yeah.
But like, we do have WADA on the board,
okay.
But I think it's still super interesting. Let's go through it. But I think just let's put like Russian corruption, like Russian government corruption.
Absolutely.
Too.
Let's yeah. do it. And we can talk about it now too. I mean, it's there's corruption everywhere. I mean, we got to put Putin up on the board.
We
also do have to put the Russian anti-doping agency.
Yeah.
RUSADA.
Specifically the Russian, the in-house national anti-doping thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So New York Times, this is a New York Times article again. Vitaly Stepanov, who was from Russia but studied at Pace University in Manhattan, began working in anti-doping education at the Russian agency in 2008. The same year, the agency was officially funded. The more he learned about how the agency operated, the more he realized that the Russian system was far from the accepted standard. Sports officials told him he did not need to test some athletes because they were clean, Mr. Stepanov said. Athletes and coaches offered him bribes to dispose of positive tests. Workers at the National Anti-Doping Lab were covering up failed drug tests, and higher-ups in Russian sports ministry were part of that scheme. The ministry's goal is not to make sports clean, but to win medals for the country, Mr. Stepanov said in a phone interview.
So here's something that I would like to submit and put on the board, or just submit to you, great alarmist, which is, again, something that Amanda kind of alluded to before, which is, like, I think part of this, too, is, and it's something that I feel like we've even discussed on a previous podcast, which is, like, the degree to which sports and achieving in sport is tied into national identity and the import and the weight that like sports and excelling in the Olympics can like a country's confidence can wax and wane with how well they do in sport. I think that like because those two things are so intertwined that like Russia feels like they need to achieve and excel and beat the Americans and beat the rest of the world. And they felt that way since, I don't know, forever or whatever. But just like tying your national identity to like excellence in sport, something in there.
Yeah. Like, well, it's interesting you bring that up because that was actually the listener recommendation that I was going to suggest.
Oh, great.
And this is coming from Instagram listener HelenKins1, at HelenKins1. And they said, the need to be seen as the best superpower country.
Right.
That's what they, which I think is tied into what you're saying about like that, and that's tied into sport.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think that like, and also, and again, I'm no Russian historical scholar, but wasn't the Sochi thing, like, I feel like there has been, I've read some things about how like this 2014 Sochi scandal and them being stripped of all their medals and like the humiliation, almost the personal humiliation that Putin felt was like then like instigated him almost out of spite and being mad about that. He invaded Ukraine, which led to this. Like there was this whole sort of like geopolitical cascading fallout from this humiliating experience from Putin's right. point of view of this Sochi Olympic scandal and being caught and stripped and banned from the subsequent Olympics. And I think it just all comes from like what your listener submitted, this pride that is associated with sport needing to be the best superpower and just Putin's own fragile personal ego, his own personal ego.
That's what
ego.
I was going to say, because it's such a fragile pride.
Yeah.
Like, you know, national pride. Because 1 year you could be on top and the next year it's unsustainable.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. That kind of jingoism or just like Russia, like Russian exceptionalism, Russian, we're the best Russia. So if you believe that, then if your country is caught cheating and stripped of all your Olympic medals and disgraced on this global international scale, then yeah, that's like crushing. That's crushing.
It's crushing.
Yeah.
It's like if you lose at a game of Monopoly and then you just kick everyone out of your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Party's over.
That's right.
That is what happens.
In all fairness, though, Monopoly's long and by that time you're probably tired.
A game of Monopoly takes as long as the Olympics, to be honest. If not longer.
Rebecca and I once had a double date with some friends and we were playing Monopoly and our two friends whose house we were at, we lost.
Yeah, they lost. And we were winning. And we just stayed an extra hour playing.
I kept playing Monopoly for like a full 45 minutes while our friends were like dozing off watching us. Oh my
God. They should have been more like Putin and kicked us out. They
kicked you out. All right, guys, you got to go. Yeah.
We don't care who wins. And we're like, shh, 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 shh.
Now, we have to put the International Olympic Committee up on the board, the IOC as well, another committee. New York Times, the International Olympic Committee is in charge of the Olympic Games and derives tremendous revenue from the from them. IOC officials were going to lead WADA, a doping watchdog. The IOC is hiding behind WADA, General McCaffrey said in a recent phone interview, suggesting negative attention was deflected from one organization to another, and WADA is hiding behind a flawed structure.
Yeah, the IOC is a mess. The IOC is kind of a mess. And can I make a bit of a prediction here? So, like, right now, the Olympics are having a bit of a nightmare PR moment in our current right. time. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the IOC, if the Olympics, there's some doping, new doping scandal this year, 2020 Tokyo, to sort of distract from the IOC's various misdeeds. I don't like those guys over there.
Put them up on the board.
Put them up on the board.
They're up.
Now, I want to talk about the WADA president, Craig Reedy.
Yeah.
Now, the New York Times said in 2014, Craig Reedy, a longtime IOC official. So this is why the WADA president was a longtime IOC official who had been involved with WADA from the start, became the new WADA president in anti-doping circles. He is not regarded as an aggressive crusader.
Yeah.
Many anti-doping experts and athletes saw his dual role as vice president of the IOC as emblematic of the conflict that they saw was derailing WADA. quote, "We're not going to turn to people and say, these are the rules, obey them," Mr. Reedy said.
Hilarious. Okay. Hilarious. We would never do that. We're not going to say play by the rules. That would be absurd. Yeah.
He explained that WADA was better suited to offer sports federations and countries advice when they asked for it rather than pursue accusations of cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, I mean, there's only so much that, you know, a group can do, right? They need to know what they're there for.
Yes, but also let's do the job, right?
Well, the judge,
at least try.
Don't say that you're not trying.
They're like, we're just here to answer questions about cheating if the countries happen to have any. We're not going to
That's why it kind of goes back to what was the first thing, like unclear response, lack of clear responsibilities,
right?
It's like, you know, we don't expect the judge to go, like, if a judge is like in a diner and there's like a stick up, like, he's not going to go and stop the robber, right? Even though he's on that side of, like, justice, where he is the one who will eventually mete out sort of like the punishment for that kind of crime.
Sure.
Yeah. Time and place, context of authority is like such a muddy thing. So many committees, who has jurisdiction over what? It's a good point.
Yeah. So when Mr. Reedy took over, the inquiry into Russia stalled, according to several people at WADA. When news of Russia's doping was leaked in December of 2014, WADA was forced to start an investigation. 4 months into that investigation, Natalia Zelenova, an advisor to the Russian sports minister, received an email from Mr. Reedy. Mr. Reedy assured Mrs. Zelenova that Russia was going to be fine because, quote, "there is no action being taken by WADA that is critical of the efforts that I know have been made or are being made to improve anti-doping efforts in Russia." He continued to say, quote, "on a personal level, I value the relationship I have with Minister Mutko, and I shall be grateful if you will inform him that there is no intention in WADA to do anything to affect the relationship," Mr. Reedy wrote.
Yeah. So they're like all in cahoots together. Is that the gist of that? That like WADA knows that
there is a theatrical element to what you were, you know, saying here. It's like if the prosecutor, like, you know, reaches out to the defendant's, you know, lawyer, yeah, and is like, "Hey, we're going to go through with this, but like, don't worry, I don't really want him to go to jail."
That's right.
You know. But, you know, it's like, let's just put on the show because everyone's watching and they all heard about the case.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There it's a bit of a performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, what's the most surreal thing about it is that, like, it's like this idea of an open secret is that, like, everybody, it does seem that, like, everybody knows it's a performance or something, but everyone is just playing along. And then it takes one weirdo, like Grigory Rodchenkov, like one loose cannon, wild card, crazy, eccentric man to be like, and like one of the quotes at the beginning of Icarus, wasn't it like some Orwell quote that was like,
he was obsessed with 1984.
Loves Orwell, of course. I mean, of course, but like it's very Orwellian that the anti-doping agency is the doping agency. I mean, anti-doping means doping. I mean, that's what that means. But the quote at the beginning of the movie was something like, in a time of rampant lying, to tell the truth is a revolutionary act. Or just to tell the truth. And like,
so you
have this guy Grigory who's like in the midst of all the IOC and WADA and the Russian Minister of Sport all sort of like winking and nodding at each other that, like, yes, we're all doping, and yes, you're investigating it, and yes, don't worry about it, and yes, it's all still happening. It takes one wild card like Grigory to actually tell the truth, and look what happens. Yeah. It's dangerous. His life was at risk as a result.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So we have so many good things up on the board. Is there anything we want to throw up before we start knocking things off?
I have one thought. And I'm no scientist, but urine, pee-pee, is so pee-pee? So involved in this story. And if it does seem like if there was a new, different, improved version of drug testing that wasn't so pee-pee focused, that because the pee pee is so easily manipulatable and swapped out for healthy pee pee, etc., that if there was some way to test for drugs that wasn't so urine focused, I just wonder if
not so, poo poo either.
Not poo poo, little... not pee pee, not poo poo. I just wonder if there's some way, and I don't have the answer, but it did occur to me rewatching the documentary. I was like, wow, there is something that is so like. And maybe it is the only way. You have to, like, see what's in their bloodstream. How else are you going to do that? So it's like, but...
Blood.
Blood, maybe. maybe the blood.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that, but then maybe, you know, DNA, they're going to copy you or something. Maybe that's the fear.
It was just the way that Gregory was like... In the documentary, he's like, oh, this is so easy. It's so easy to cheat. Like, it's a cinch.
Yeah.
And
there's
I was
a
like,
moment where he's shaking the guy's pee in a little bottle.
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, what are those flakes? And he was like, these are your sins.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he's like joking and not joking. That's the whole Russian thing, right?
It's not a joke, but it's funny.
And there's that scene when he's in law, he flies to Los Angeles to collect the filmmaker cyclist's urine. And he's like, and Gregory Rudichek was like, oh, this is so dangerous. Like, don't film me. Like, this is mafia. And he's like, kidding. But also he's like, it is mafia. Like, he's not, he's joking, but he's not joking.
Incredible character.
Incredible guy.
Okay, I love that. Now, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back and start knocking things off the list.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, hit us, Chris.
Okay, who's to blame for the Olympic doping scandal? Is it Vladimir Putin? Director Grigory Rodchenkov? The Olympics themselves? Russian everybody dopes attitude? Good sportsmanship myth? WADA and the lack of clear responsibilities? Regulatory theater? WADA corruption? Russian government corruption? Russian anti-doping agency? The need to be seen as the best superpower country? Fragile national pride? Sports?
I took the liberty.
You just threw sports in there?
Sports.
Okay. She's allowed. International
Olympic Committee? Craig Reedy? Or
Peepee? Peepee.
You're right.
That's the best word.
Peepee. Yeah.
Now, what are we going to take off of here? Everything is culpable.
I was going to say, this is a daunting list because this all sounds right to me. Like a cocktail of all these feels like the answer. But yeah.
Our job is hard.
At the end of the day, we've got to take out the vial, fill it up with one of these babies, and inject it into our prison. So which one's it going to be?
Inject it. I mean, I feel like there's some WADA, there's a little bit of WADA redundancy perhaps on the list. And I just, maybe we could, but between WADA, lack of clear responsibility, the regulatory theater, and Craig Reedy himself, it feels like that's all kind of maybe of a piece or something, perhaps?
Yeah, I was going to say let's keep regulatory theater.
Yeah.
But I think that we can fold the rest. Because I think regulatory theater is a bigger issue.
Right, right.
Than just the WADA program.
Pretending to police.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I like that. Let's fold the others into that.
A lot of this, like the good sportsmanship, and sorry, So like the good sportsmanship myth, that again, I think like American naivete, the good sportsmanship myth, I do feel like that almost is like the context in which this scandal occurred, as opposed to almost like the cause of it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's just, I think, just true.
Here's the thing. We should all be alarmed. This is the thing. We should all be alarmist. Why are we walking around thinking that everything is fine?
Exactly.
Right? We should be questioning things all the time.
Exactly.
And I think that that's what they were trying to do by creating this anti-doping program or WADA or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you have to question there should have been more questioning is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Amongst everyone.
So I'm going to take off good sportsmanship myth and the Russian everybody dopes attitude, because those can also sort of be tied up into the Olympics in general or into like fragile national pride.
Totally.
Kind of.
Totally.
Yeah, should we maybe fold the Olympics into fragile national pride? Like, why else are we doing the Olympics? I guess,
or vice versa.
Fold national pride into the Olympics.
I feel like fragile national pride came before the Olympics. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, that's true. I mean, the Olympics go really far back.
Ancient Greece, I think, right?
So the fact that they started at around the same time, that says a lot.
Exactly.
That the world, the world started in ancient Greece. No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay, so I'll fold Olympics into fragile national pride.
Which also feels similar to the need to be seen as the best superpower country. To me, feels like a subset of net fragile national pride. Need to be the best. Sport matters. The amount of gold medals that we have equates to my sense of national pride. Is that's a slippery slope?
Yeah, and you know, Amanda, I like that you put sports in, and I hadn't brought it up. I didn't think of bringing it up. So thank you.
Yes.
And I would like to add, it's like competitive sport, sport for competition, because we can sport alone or sport for fun.
You can casual sport. Absolutely. You can just go for a run. Okay. You're not
just
competing
against
anybody.
Don't count the baskets, like play basketball, but just don't count the
No, you can count the baskets, and like, I guess one side can win, and I guess you can want to win. But like,
sort of like the Montessori school approach to sport. It's just sort of like, we're just doing it for the experience. There's no winners and losers here.
Well, there was in certain native cultures, Native American, they would play lacrosse without any goals. They would literally just pick the ball up and run around and then try to knock it out of the stick.
That's cool.
It's just, that was just sport without, like, there wasn't like a winner or a loser at the end of it. It was like, let's run around. And
isn't this fun?
Just
this
carry
is fun.
The ball.
Yeah.
Carry the ball, run around, somebody will get you.
Somebody will get you. We'll stop when we're tired. Yeah.
Okay, so you want me to clarify competitive sports or are we wanting to take sports?
No, I
off
think we should
board.
Leave it for now. Like it still makes sense to me. I think we can take pee-pee off. I think it's time.
Pee-pee can go. Yeah.
But ugh. You're right. We should come up with a better system.
This has got to be a non-peepee way, maybe.
I also think we can fold the Russian anti-doping agency into the Russian government corruption, yeah. right?
This yeah. is all feeling right. Nice to feels good to consolidate, doesn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of these, I feel like, do we fold Russian government corruption into Putin?
Well, I was actually going to say, to me, the Putin, it's like there's fragile national pride, yes. But then there's like Vladimir Putin himself, the man's own ego and pride, like his own personal pride and like crazy Russian jingoism. And I mean, wasn't he like a KGB officer in before he was? Yeah. I mean, like cheating and corruption, that is the pool in which he swims, baby. That's the only thing he knows.
That's his language.
Exactly. exactly.
So do we want to wrap up Russian government corruption into Putin?
Yeah.
I like that.
Sounds good, personally. Yeah.
And then I think we can also wrap up Grigory Rodchenkov.
Into Putin,
yeah. too, because he, like he said, I mean, he's no angel, but he was just following orders. And this is the price you pay to, you know, try to do this sort of research in Russia. It's like...
And rewatching the documentary also, to your point, Rebecca, before about like wanting to get caught, I was like sort of marveling at the fact, I was like, almost him agreeing to do this documentary or have this like American filmmaker, LA cyclist dude follow him around with a camera was almost in and of itself felt like a cry for help.
Yeah. It felt like he was tired. He's like, I'm just tired of doing this.
Exactly. Seriously.
He's like,
cheating fatigue.
Cheating fatigue.
Yes. Truly. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. So we have Putin, WADA, regulatory theater, fragile national pride, competitive sports, and International Olympic Committee. Let's take off competitive sports, I guess. Basketball, baseball, everything can go on. That's fine.
Well, yeah, we'll take it off. But I just want to say, like, if people take it too seriously.
Yeah, don't take it too seriously.
Chill
it's
out.
A game.
In general, you can chill out about it.
Just like
everyone.
If you win, be happy. If you lose, be like, oh, man.
Go out for a burger afterwards. It's fine. Yeah, exactly.
Relax.
Yeah. And it would be fine if it weren't for a fragile national pride.
Yes.
Like if people, because when we're talking like the Olympics, I mean, that's really what makes people cheat. So I think either fragile national pride can get rolled up into Putin or vice versa.
I think vice versa, because it's a bigger issue, right? We are talking about the Russian doping scandal,
too.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But in there's been a lot of people caught cheating, not just Russians. But it is, I think it could go either way.
Ooh, that's a hard one.
Yes.
Putin is such a perfect manifestation of fragile national pride.
Correct.
Too.
Let's go
with Putin then.
Yes.
Okay.
And then what about regulatory theater now being wrapped up into WADA?
I think vice versa. I think you can wrap up WADA into regular because it's just one of the many organizations that are regulatory theater.
And how about same with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee?
Well, here's the thing. We've got three left and we got to figure out who we're going to slap and who we're going to send to jail. We've got Putin, regulatory theater, and International Olympic Committee. And this is a hard one.
This is tough. All culpable, all guilty. Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
Okay. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
I'm bracing myself.
But I think we should send International Olympic Committee to the alarmist jail over Putin.
Wow.
And a part of me wants to slap regulatory theater.
Oh my God.
I can't believe.
So Putin gets away.
I'm mad at myself. I'm ashamed at myself and mad at myself.
But now, let me say this. I think we could wrap regulatory theater into the IOC.
Oh.
Well, the IOC, I mean, that's the thing about this regulatory theater concept. Yeah, it was these people who approved that idea that was sort of like they came up with this.
They came up with WADA. Fugazi. That's why
exactly
right.
In my mind, they're more to blame because it's like
who do you blame for the regulatory theater? The theater itself or the people who wrote the theater?
Oh, whoa, I can't even
David
go there.
Mamet? Is it David Mamet or is it Bill Macy? Is it the guy performing it?
Exactly.
Or is it,
now is you're it speaking Mamet
who wrote is it the audience piece? who paid money to go watch the show?
We didn't even talk about the audience.
Oh, okay. No.
Or the athletes.
This is why I think regulatory theater is so big in this scandal. Because in a way, it really encapsulates like why we're all culpable. We're like, let us have our Olympics anyway. I know people are doping, but someone's gonna get a gold medal, and we're gonna like, hurrah, hurrah! And then they're gonna be on the cover of a cereal box.
Exactly.
Let us have our theater.
Exactly. And if we need to make an example of like one person, like Sha'Carri Richardson who like smoked weed. If we need to make an example of like one person, so be it. Throw them to the dogs so we can enjoy our sport.
I mean, that is so screwed up. I can't even.
I know. Oh, I know.
I can't even let
myself
go there.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It's just, it's a problem. It's a problem. And then there are people that are actually like facing the consequence of this theater performance that we're all just like going there to watch.
Yes. Yes.
Or allowing to happen. Oh my God! Do we send regulatory theater to the alarmist jail then? And we slap. And we slap the International Olympic Committee, or do we slap Putin? I don't know what to do here. I need help.
my regulatory theater is the idea. To me, the IOC are the exactors of that theater. Mm-hmm. Like that's my impulse. To me, I'm bloodthirsty here. I want to blame someone. I want someone to be punished and to go to alarmist jail. And like, to me, like I'm thirsting for the IOC. This is my impulse is that the
IOC.
Those are the faces and the
That's
and the
what I think, too.
Beings.
That was my instinct.
Yeah.
But then I just can't live with myself letting Putin off the hook as was. I mean, this is history repeating itself.
Exactly.
In this exact scenario.
He's a slippery snake. He gets away with this kind of stuff. You wouldn't be the first.
He does.
Yeah.
So you agree with that, Amanda, that we let him get off?
No, I think we have to be people bringing justice to Putin.
It's our job.
Okay. Then this is what I'm going to do. I understand what you I hear what you say, Adam.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go a different route and I'm going to
respect.
I'm going to send Putin to the alarmist jail. And I'm going to slap regulatory theater. And I'm
okay, well.
And I'm mad at the IOC.
Oh, I'm mad. I'm big mad. and I'm going to stay
mad. We also have the backhand. Don't forget, we've often used
they
the backhand.
They deserve the backhand. They deserve the backhand.
Okay,
because I do think
backhand.
They're connected. I do think they're connected.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to call it. Regulatory theater, you're getting the big slap. International Olympic Committee, here comes that backhand. Putin, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Oh my God, we got him.
Wow.
I can't tell you how satisfying that feels. Finally, finally, someone was able to bring that man to justice. This feels great. I feel great about this.
I can't wait to talk to our guest expert. I hope we got this right. She's going to be like, what'd you do?
I can't wait to tell my kid. He's going to be thrilled about this. He couldn't sleep last night worrying about this. So he's going to be so pumped that we came to the right conclusion.
Yeah, well, everyone can rest easy tonight.
Yeah.
Putin's in the alarmist jail. We're making space for him.
Yes.
And Adam, thank you so much for joining us and helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the Russian Olympic doping scandal.
Truly always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Rebecca, Amanda, and fact checker Chris.
After the Russian Olympic doping scandal, in 2019, Russia received a four-year ban from the world's top sporting events as part of a sanctions package recommended by WADA. In December 2020, the Court of Arbitration for Sport upheld the doping sanctions preventing Russian athletes from competing under their country's flag, but cut the ban in half, reducing it by 2 years. Though the ban will end on December 16, 2022, it still includes the 2021 Summer Olympics,
2022 Winter Olympics and 2022 World Cup. Dr. Grigory Rodchenkov fled Russia shortly after confessing his involvement in the scandal. He remains in the United States under the Witness Protection Program. Fearing for their safety, Vitaly and Yulia Stepanov fled Russia in 2014, having been labeled traitors, with Vladimir Putin specifically referring to Yulia as Judas. They moved to the United States in 2015 on the promise of a job that never materialized. Their subsequent application for asylum to remain in the U.S. is still pending. In April of 2017, the International Association of Athletics Federations founded the Athletics Integrity Unit, AIU, to combat doping in sports. Since 2017, more than 200 athletes and officials have been banned for doping offenses.
Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at @TheAlarmistThe on Twitter, at @TheAlarmistPodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com.
Tune in next week. We're discussing the 1972 Munich massacre.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.